Hey, we'd like to welcome you to Off the Cuff. Sitting next to me in our new facility is lifelong pastor John Bell. Welcome, John. How you feeling?
Feeling great.
Yeah, we're just knocking these out, and we're hoping you're knocking them out, enjoying them. What we do here is, like the title says, it's off the cuff. We come up with a question, unrehearsed, unleashed, John Bell, and then I kind of chime in with a couple of questions. But I do mostly listening and learning myself, so we're glad that you're here. We started this series on spiritual warfare and what does God give us to battle the spiritual warfare. So last time we talked about how does God help us overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to talk about how does God help us overcome the evil one.
Okay.
All right, John.
Yes.
So what can I look forward to? What can God, who does God give us to overcome?
Okay. So we said probably in the opening podcast that the devil is relentless. You know, 1 Peter 5, mm-hmm. he walks around just as a lion seeking someone to devour. Right. And this Peter here is talking to believers. He doesn't need to devour unbelievers because they've already become prisoners. But he's trying to capture us. He's trying to make us completely ineffective, to make our testimony not useful at all. For people to see that there's really no difference in us and everybody else. So he walks around as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And we're told to resist him. So how do we resist him? So the key in this prayer, so we're talking about prayer now. Here's when I'm praying to overcome the evil one, I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, you always won the battle with the evil one. So I need the Lord Jesus to overcome the evil one when he attacks. And so in Ephesians 6, it talks about various pieces of armor. And the sequence is important. So, you know, it's like very important to keep the sequence in place.
Really?
Yes. So because you want to focus on this. So this is how you overcome the evil one. The first way you overcome the evil one, it talks about the belt of truth, right? So the key piece of armor to overcome the evil one is the truth. Why? Because he's a liar. Mm-hmm. If you want to know his modus operandi, is he's a masterful liar. You know, he was lying to Eve in the garden. He was trying to lie to Jesus, you know, in the temptation, because the same three lies he told to Eve, he tried on Jesus. Hmm. But Jesus came back at him every time he tried to use a lie. Jesus came back at him with the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I need to know, and you know, here's what Jesus said about himself. In John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So what does Jesus give us? He gives us his truth. And what is truth? Truth is reality. I've said before in other podcasts that life in this world is an illusion. You know, nothing is what it seems to be. And most people are blind, so they believe what they're told. When we come to Christ, we see reality. We see the truth. And why? Because Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I say, Lord Jesus, give me the belt of truth today. Help me to see life as you see life. You know, help me to understand that there's a wrong way to live, and there's a right way. So help me with that. So the first thing is the belt of truth. The next one is the breastplate or the chest plate. You know, so Paul's looking at armor that someone who is in warfare would have on. So you need to protect the chest, right? And you know, what is the chest in your body? It's where your emotions are. You know, it's like when you have feelings. There's a book called The Body Keeps Score. So when you're under stress, your body actually feels it. When you're under attack, when you're overwhelmed, and you feel it, you know, they'll say, people use words like, I had a knot in my stomach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, those are emotions because the body actually sends out, the brain actually sends out a chemical called cortisol. And it just like makes your hands sweat. You know,
you're just, it traps and fat.
Basically. That's what produces stress in people. Mm-hmm. But so what is the chest plate? And why is it called the chest plate of righteousness? Because this is for when you fail, actually. You know, you have the righteousness of Christ. When you accept Christ, you get all of his righteousness. You trade in all of your unrighteousness, and you get into your account all of the righteousness of Christ. But the problem is, when you fail, you're going to forget that you have the righteousness of Christ, because you're going to try to be righteous on your own, and you will. You actually, when you become a Christian, you actually will begin to live a more righteous way. Here's the thing you can't do. You can't ever depend on your righteousness. Mm-hmm. That's coming out of you because you become a Christian. You always have to go back to, you know what? No matter how much better I get, how much more righteous I get, I'm never depending on my righteousness.
Right.
I'm depending on the right. So here's what that does is when I feel like I failed and I feel guilty, I remember that I have the righteousness of Christ and that cannot be taken from me. And so, you know, I step back, I breathe, and I say, thank you for your righteousness. May your righteousness work in me today. May I keep my mind fixed on the fact that it's your righteousness and not mine. Whether I get better or whether I fall down today.
Because it's not even you, because it's God in you mm-hmm. that you can get better. So we can't embrace
it. Well, it's the new nature plus the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're going to.
But it's not me at all, right, John? It's not like a learned behavior.
No.
I'm going to be righteous today.
Right.
And then we talk about, you know, that justice gene. Mm-hmm. If I look at someone on television and they're saying something, or if I meet somebody, I can't judge that person.
Well, you can't condemn that person.
Yeah. So and I got to love, says, and I gotta love
when,
that person.
Yeah, when the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Yeah. I tell people, you got to make judgments right. all day long. So right. it's not talking about that.
Right.
So it's here's another way of saying it, the correct way of okay. saying it. Condemn not lest you be condemned. So that's, in other words, saying, what a terrible person that person is. You know, mm-hmm. it's actually like you're the judge and jury. And you're mm-hmm. convicting that person.
Yeah, because people always go to that verse.
Yeah.
You know, they always go to that verse.
Yeah, but so. You got to make judgments all the time about what to do in life. So then the third piece, so if you have the belt of truth and if you have the chest plate of righteousness, there's something that you get automatically. You know what you get? Peace. Mm-hmm. And that's why it says, having your feet shod or, you know, you have your shoes on, so to speak, right. having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. So when you have the belt of truth, which is the belt of Jesus Christ, when you have the chest plate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ, here's something you get automatically. I mean, if you get those two things, you automatically get peace. You automatically, and why is it the shoes of peace? Because that's what you stand on, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the Roman soldier that he was describing, they actually had cleats in their sandals, you know, or in their mm-hmm. boots or whatever they wore for a mm-hmm. Roman soldier. And it was so they could fight on uneven ground.
You know? I thought it was for the golf course.
Same thing. It's just the cleats.
Right.
It's baseball cleats. But why do you have those? Because it steadies your walk. You know, it steadies you running.
But this is not forever. This is a daily challenge. You're not going to have peace.
What I would say is, so here's an interesting thing. The first three pieces, mm-hmm. you automatically have. What you need is you need to remind yourself. So the first three, from my view, are, you know, they're in place. Like, mm-hmm. you have the belt of truth on. You just have to remind yourself that you have the belt of truth. Yeah. You have the chest plate of right. You have the righteousness of Christ.
So if I feel unrest, I don't feel peaceful today, mm-hmm. it would be a good exercise for me to look at the armor of God,
yeah.
and go through
yeah.
that.
And I'll tell you why, because when we get to the next three pieces, it'll tell you why. So the first three, you automatically have.
Okay.
You just need to remind you. And again, the order is important. Truth, righteousness. Truth plus righteousness equals peace. Okay?
Right.
So I have the truth of Christ. I have the righteousness of Christ. You know,
you get the peace.
I can exhale. Yeah. I get the peace. And that's why, because of the gospel, because of the good news. The good mm-hmm. news brought truth and righteousness to me. So now it actually gets into the other three pieces, and these are daily habits that you have to develop. So the next one is the shield of faith, right? And it says why? Because the devil is always shooting fiery darts at you. So a simple way for men especially is you're tempted to, you know, he puts something there and you're tempted to look at something that you shouldn't be looking at, right? And that's, you have to know where that's coming from. That's coming from the devil. You asked me once, did Satan put that billboard up there?
Right.
You remember?
Right,
I said, yeah, but he didn't put it up there specifically for you. It was for anybody. It was like a catch-all.
Right.
Anybody
right,
passing
right.
this way,
right?
Take a look at this, right?
Yeah. And that's where we talked about years ago, bouncing your eyes.
Yeah, bouncing your eyes. And so here's what he says. The shield of faith, what is that? So faith is an operation when you have a promise. Right. So what you do in that situation is the way you take up the shield of faith is you use a promise. First, you use a promise. So it would be like this. Don't let your eyes lust. And so and I will deliver you from that. So you remember that and then you believe that. You say, I don't need that. Because one of the things that's happening with the shield of faith is the Word of God is teaching you what to truly believe so that you will be completely satisfied and you just don't need all that. Because the devil's darts are an attempt to make you dissatisfied with your life, you know, with all the things that are going on. So you put up the shield of faith. And faith is, I'm going to believe, you know, I have this promise from God that he will never leave me nor forsake me, that all of my needs will be taken care of, you know, mm-hmm. that Philippians passage where Paul says, I have learned to be content in any situation. If I'm exalted, if I'm abased, whatever, doesn't matter. I've learned to be content. So the shield of faith will help you to live life with contentment.
So that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Exactly.
Is not simply the guy that wants to lift more weights.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, because that is always, I mean, I hear even from the pulpit that, no, that's not what it means.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, I can do it. You know, people are entering a race or whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. they hold on to that. Mm-hmm. And that's really not what the verse means
it's
at
really,
all.
It's really overcoming the world, the flesh and the devil, right? And especially the devil. It's like, yeah. I'm not going to believe his lies.
Yeah.
And then the next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. Mm-hmm. And another passage of scripture talks about this. I think it's Corinthians. It says, it is the hope of the helmet of salvation. So I protected my emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The helmet of salvation, now I'm protecting my thinking.
Yeah.
Right? And so what am I thinking? I'm thinking about all that God has prepared for me. That's the hope. We live with hope, right? And what is our hope? We're going to spend eternity with God. You know, mm-hmm. the end result of our salvation is... the world is passing away in all of its lusts, which we talked about last time. But right. he who does the will of God abides forever. So I'm, and I have that hope. You know, I'm just, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. C.S. Lewis said, when we get to heaven and we look back on this life, it's going to seem like one night in a bad hotel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to remember that. So when I'm in a bad hotel, I'm going to remember there's a mansion waiting for me.
Mm, that's good.
You know, there's a place specially, you know, I think every one of us gets, so Jesus says in John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you, there you may be also, right? So I think there's a room designed for John Bell.
Yeah.
It's different than Dean's, right. probably.
Yes.
It's different than Aaron's, probably.
You have a lot of books in yours.
So I have a lot of bookshelves.
I have a lot of pizza. I have Detroit-style pizza, Chicago-style pizza, New York-style pizza.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you got a lot of ovens.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, it's just the hope of eternity. It's, Paul says in Romans 8, I am convinced that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. So it's just what is waiting for us. Is, and I have that hope. I never lose sight of that hope. So, and that protects my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And then the last thing is the sword of the Spirit, which, and then he says what it is. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So mm-hmm. the Spirit and the word work together. And this is not the whole word of God. It's not Genesis to Revelation. It's very specific the word of God. So you need to figure out what your weaknesses are. You know, the areas in your life. Like I told you and I talk about this sometimes.
Right.
I say, or you said this to me once. You said, John, my relationship with food is different than your relationship with food.
Right.
Why? Because, you know, it's there. I like a good meal. But it's nothing I crave.
Right.
You know, it's easy for me to say, no, I'm not. Like, my wife, she loves dessert.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say, do you want dessert? And I go, no, not really.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'd rather have something salty.
Yeah.
Give me something salty. But so we need to realize that each of us has areas of strength and weakness. We need to match up portions of the Word of God so that when the enemy attacks us in that area, we can pull out the specific portion of the Word of God that can help us. That's how Jesus overcame the devil. Yeah. What did he do? Every time he came at him with a temptation,
right. Direct quote.
Yeah,
that addressed that situation.
Right.
You know, and by memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he didn't.
When he was tempted to eat because he'd been fasting for 40 days.
Yeah.
And the devil said, aren't you hungry?
Yeah.
Why don't you turn these stones to bread?
Yeah.
And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's excellent. So, John, let me ask you, how does someone, they're hearing this and they said, you know what, I'd be interested in learning more about that. How does somebody learn more about, first of all, their weaknesses and direct scripture that addresses those weaknesses?
Yeah, that's not... So one of the things I would say is kind of take inventory. Mm-hmm. When you have fallen, you need scripture to... So, you know, a weak area for me, especially mm-hmm. when I was young, my mother always warned me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, John, you better figure out how to control your temper. Because I'm a very passionate person.
Right.
And, you know, my pilot light for anger is like going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, you know, just boom, just like that. I mean, I don't even think about it, literally. And so I know that is a weakness. That's where the devil can, and the devil will regularly try to frustrate me. Because
mm-hmm.
my anger, basically I come to realize my anger is, the source of my anger is frustration. You know, it's when I get frustrated, it's like,
yeah.
And so, yeah. So I go to scriptures, you know, the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, right? It's like, John, just because, it, you know, you mentioned Peter and the, I think Peter had a temper.
Yes.
I think Moses had a temper, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And this is the area of self-control. So you want to focus on scripture. You know what the word meekness is? I've had to, the hardest thing for me has learned to be
power meek. Under control.
That's power under control.
John Bell, maybe 1979.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like, I've had, God gave me boldness. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a very bold person. I don't think about it.
Yeah.
But I've had to learn that my boldness can actually, you know, turn into anger or, you know, anything, threats.
So I'm going to answer this because the question was, where can you learn? You could learn it right here. You can learn it listening to John Bell, and we make that available to you. You can follow us on the net. Our website is amazingmenministries.com. We do this off the cuff. Everything that we do is available there, as well as Facebook and on Instagram when they let us, and X as well. So you can learn more listening to lifelong pastor John Bell, who's done this for decades. And if you don't have a home church, we invite you to go ahead and find a home church. And we definitely invite you to listen to John's body of work. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. On behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.